Happy Friday, everybody. I am not Adam Azer. This is Chris Towers. It's June 19th, the Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I've got Al Melchior and Scott White. Guys, what's up?
I was promised Adam Azer. I'm walking out.
I understand. Look, nobody's more disappointed about this turn of events than me. Because I'm in the spotlight, and that is not where I thrive. I'm the sit in the back of the class and make stupid comments guy, not the class leader.
Breath.
So not
to put pressure on, but I bet you rock this podcast.
I probably won't. I think this is the last episode of the Fantasy Baseball Podcast. But thanks for listening, guys.
You're gonna make the whole thing tank.
I think so. Yeah. I think we're tanking. Yeah,
this is not a basketball podcast. We don't tank here.
That's true. We've got injuries. We've got Bryce Harper got hurt last night. We've got week 12 preview. But first, let's start off with our email of the day, number one. If you want to email the show, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This one comes from Levi from Shoreham, Vermont. VT is Vermont, right?
That is, not Virginia Tech.
I always struggle with the state abbreviations. Levi from Shoreham, Vermont. Fantasy professors, who are some good starting pitchers who are a buy low candidate right now, but will return good value for the rest of the season? Maybe it's been a slow start due to injury or bad luck. Who do you guys have in mind?
Well, the first pitchers who come to mind for me are both Atlanta Braves. Julio Teheran.
Homer.
Yeah. Julio Teheran, though, I mean, obviously the last start was terrible, but the two before that were good.
Yep.
And even better than they looked because he had the bullpen allow some inherited runners for him. So I feel like he's kind of trending the right direction. And just as much Alex Wood, who's swinging strikes. He had his best start last time out. And if you look at the swinging strikes he's been getting, which is a measure of dominance.
Yeah.
They were like really low in April, and then they went up to a little closer to normal in May. And then his last two starts have been double digits, which is where he was most of last season. So I feel like he's trending the right way too. And it hasn't been like an obvious enough return to form for either of them
mm-hmm.
that you can't still buy low on them. So right. I like them.
Al?
And this is not a new one for either of us, but Carlos Carrasco mm-hmm. continues to be a buy low. And I still think now with the defensive improvements with the call-ups of Lindor and Urshela that he is even buy lowier now than he was before.
Number 8 in the league in FIP, 2.67, but his ERA is 4.38. And that's usually my shortcut for finding buy low or sell high candidates as guys who are over or underperforming their FIP. Is there anyone else?
Yeah, now with Carrasco, I think, you know, we could probably agree there's probably been some bad luck there. I think this is a case of a slow start, but Tyson Ross, control's been inconsistent, I think is a generous way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the same issue last year and recovered, and the upside is, I think, too great to not at least attempt to buy low.
I have a couple more here, and they're both cases, again, of, I don't think the FIP test is going to reply.
There's different types of slow and fast starters. There's guys who are slow starters because of just plain underperformance, and then there's guys who are actually just getting some kind of crappy luck.
Yeah. Like Carrasco didn't even come to mind to me as a buy low, and I totally understand it because the ERA doesn't look good, but I feel like he's just having a good season.
Yeah.
Colin McHugh, who had an interesting start yesterday at Colorado. The strikeouts were back. They hadn't been there all season. But he also walked 5,
mm-hmm.
which is also something he hadn't been doing this season. So I'm not quite sure what to make of that yet. But I just bought into the narrative so much coming in, and it hasn't been enough of a disaster for me to say he's not going to bounce back. And John Lester.
Yeah.
John Lester. Still buy what the peripherals on him. And
I will throw out one more. I think he's kind of an obvious one, but Steven Strasburg, assuming, apparently he's been working 94 to 98 miles an hour in his rehab work, and he's coming back from the injury, assuming he comes back and the issues were actually the result of that. Was it an ankle injury in spring training and throwing off his mechanics? I think he's a very nice buy low candidate. We've got an email of the day number 2 from Adam Hill. Best to worst, rank them for tomorrow's FAAB run. Miguel Sano, Kyle Schwarber, Rougned Odor, Chris Parmalee, Corey Seager. Go.
Ooh. All right, I'm going to put Odor at the top. Okay. Yeah, Odor, the Schwarbs, Sano. I'll go Seager Parmalee. I thought about putting Seager last because I just don't know that he's coming up anytime soon, but yeah.
I feel like with the Odor, though, there would have to be a need because I'm not sure. Like, if you don't need a second baseman, I'm not sure he's going to be, like, somebody who you're going to keep on your roster for the long haul. I'm not.
I mean, he certainly could be.
He could be.
He's got the talent.
Yeah. I think if we found out Miguel Sano was getting called up tomorrow, he would be owned everywhere, regardless of need.
Yeah,
I feel
like
there's a clear difference there in upside.
I think I would put Miguel Sano number one in this, just because they're all guys that have questions about their playing time. Mm-hmm. So I think Sano's the number one just because it's. I feel like at some point he's got to get the call.
And Kyle Schwarber, man.
He just got the opportunity.
Four hits and then in the first game and then two hits and a home run just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, he is doing everything he can do and then some to stick around. But
I think the Cubs are going to send him down the same way that Lloyd McClendon kept Fernando Rodney as his closer.
Really? You think it's because then I was reading Jed Hoyer's comments yesterday, yeah. And they're insisting every day.
They're doubling
so did,
down.
So did Lloyd McClendon.
And I get why they're saying, but I get why the Cubs are saying it because they're trying to bring Schwarber along as a catcher, and they don't feel like he's ready to play catcher in the majors yet. But they don't want to give up to him on at catcher, mm-hmm. and sticking him in left field would essentially be doing
they,
that.
They have enough guys that they can afford to put him down. I think not put him down. He's not really. See, I told you we're tanking the fantasy baseball today podcast. That's morbid. Drop him back down to AAA. And the thing with that is, if he keeps hitting at AAA like he has in the majors and all throughout his minor league career, if they have any need at all, he's going to get the call. And, you know, you look at I saw on Twitter yesterday, Chris Coughlin has the second longest active game streak in Major League Baseball. That
what?
It's crazy. So the you know
who's
the
first?
Kyle Seager. The Cubs are in a weird spot where they kind of have too many guys for how many positions they have, but it's not like everybody's great, you know?
No.
So there could be room for him. It's
yeah.
Just, there's no obvious spot right now.
I know. And, you know, at first I was kind of leaning toward, you know what? I'm still leaning towards you have to own him just in case.
Yeah.
But I think it's like maybe an 80, 20% chance, 80 being he goes back down.
Yeah. All right. You know, and he would be a great FanDuel play. He's been the last couple of days. He'd be even better if he was catcher eligible, but he's not. And we've been playing FanDuel all season. And if you're not playing yet, you really need to get on there. FanDuel.com. Go right now and start playing fantasy baseball. Use our offer code CBSPOD, CBSPOD, and they will match every dollar you deposit, dollar for dollar, up to $200. And that gets earned as you play. We've been playing FanDuel every single day, and it's pretty fun. I would say I'm having a good time playing it. What about you guys?
I have a good time playing it, except last night I didn't have a good time playing it
well,
because I stunk. It's super addictive and fun.
It's more fun when you win, for sure. So go to FanDuel.com, play today. Make sure you use the offer code CBSPOD, and also watch these two dudes plus Ryan Bass and Heath Cummings and some FanDuel guests from time to time on Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern. Every day, Monday through Friday on CBSSports.com. Let's get to the big news and notes. And, you know, I'm calling Adam Azer's bluff. He told me yesterday that I should make some Taylor Swift references. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. We've got some bad blood injuries. We've got some perhaps shake it off injuries. And we've got news and notes. The biggest news from last night, Bryce Harper left last night's game with what is being called a mild hamstring strain. Everyone on Twitter was very concerned when he left the game because it was a kind of a non-contact type of injury. If he misses the weekend series, is there anyone you're looking to add or play more in DFS?
Yeah, it's sort of hard to...
Because Michael Taylor was already playing a lot.
Right. Oh, you're saying in that context.
Yes.
I'd have to say no because, yeah, Taylor, his appeal is the same for me. Like you said, Clinton Robinson's been playing.
Okay.
They're going deeper than that. It's not anybody I'm interested in starting.
Right. Carlos Gomez could sit out the upcoming weekend series or possibly hit the disabled list. He's got a hip and groin injury. Victor Martinez came off the DL. He will play this weekend. Cole Hamels was scratched tonight with a hamstring strain. Felipe Almonte to make his first career start. This was a guy who was a big-time prospect like 5 years ago. I think he was in the Roy Halladay trade, if I remember correctly. Is there any interest in Felipe Almonte?
First of all, I think that's correct about the Halladay trade, and I have to say no.
Okay.
Almonte.
Yes.
Almonte?
I think it's Felipe Almonte.
Oh, okay. I mispronounced both.
Very, you know, very French.
Yes.
I was trying to think of a different word. It wasn't coming to me.
You know, he's... You can just say French.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong
with
it.
That's fine.
Jose Altuve set out Thursday's game after a setback with his hamstring. Yordano Ventura placed on the DL with an ulnar nerve condition in his arm. Johan Pino is starting in his spot. He has a 4.93 ERA as a 31-year-old in AAA, so we are not interested in him.
No.
Fernando Rodney could start to see save opportunities because, of course. It's not moving Carson Smith out of the role. It's
right, right.
On days when Carson Smith's not available, Fernando Rodney will be in the mix to get saves, and then they'll try to work him back in that way. And, Scott, your boy Joe Ross will start versus Pittsburgh today. Max Scherzer moved back to Saturday. Gio Gonzalez to Sunday.
Yeah, unfortunately, that means my other boy, Tanner Roark, is probably out now that Doug Fister's back.
Yep.
It's a shame because I think Tanner Roark is probably better than Doug Fister.
At some point, Fister's going to have to show something. We'll get to that with our Thursday standouts. And actually, let's jump right to that. Doug Fister returned from the DL. 5 1/3 innings, 9 hits, 5 runs, no walks.
Oh.
So there's your one positive sign for Doug Fister. What about any other Thursday standouts for you guys?
Now you're getting the crickets.
Well, I'll go through some. I did plenty of research for this one. Byron Buxton continues to underwhelm, 2 for 16 since his call-up with 6 strikeouts. Any concern that he's not ready yet?
Not because of this.
Yeah, it's 5. Yeah. It's 4 games.
Actually, I do have one, a little delayed in the reaction there. But Josh Fegley is actually kind of sort of the A's regular catcher now. And the strikeouts are way down. In the limited time that he's played, he's showing the power that he showed with the White Sox. So I think at minimum, he's becoming relevant in two catcher leagues.
Two catcher and AL-only leagues?
Have they been playing Stephen Vogt at first base all this time?
Mix and match. I mean, Fegley's not getting the overwhelming number of starts, but I would say it's majority over, I would say, about the last 15 games.
Yeah, a little more than 50-50, and Vogt's been playing first base when he hasn't been catching, so...
So yeah, it's not really hurting Vogt. I mean, Vogt's got his own issues, slumping, and Bob Melvin says he's banged up.
Yeah.
But you know, and maybe that's related. But you know, it's just as long as Fegley's getting some playing time, you know, he definitely deserves a look. And
all right, Kyle Schwarber went 2 for 4 with a home run. He is now 6 for 10 with 4 RBI and 5 runs scored in 3 games. We talked about him. Ryan Howard 2 for 3 with an RBI, snapped a 10-game homerless streak. He was really good in May. I think June is more representative of what we should expect from him moving forward. First base is so deep, it's just hard to get anything out of it. Al, I know you have not been a big believer in Yunel Escobar.
Mm-hmm.
Third 5-hit game of the season for Yunel. He is batting .344 on the season. Third 5-hit game of his career. He had never had a 5-hit game before this season. He has 3 on June 19th. Still no interest. Is it a mix of his relatively bleh skill set and not sure how he's going to find playing time in that infield?
Much more the meh skill set.
Okay.
But the fact that this is the third 5-hit game, that in between the 5-hit games, there's been some steady production, which granted I've, you know, doubted the sustainability of, but you know, maybe this is a case of somebody who, you know, is not so old that he couldn't, I don't even want to use the word breakout, but how about just, you know, rediscover the promise he showed in his first couple of seasons with
the
Braves.
Except the difference is there's zero power. It's 78 hits this year, and 12 of them have been for extra bases. His ISO, if you have a frame of reference for that, is 080.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, you can't. Singles alone, or even if he is able to sustain it, which I don't think he will,
man cannot live on singles alone.
No.
Let's see. What do you have the ownership rate handy? If not, I'm pulling it up. Because, yeah, it wouldn't really occur to me. 56%. Yeah. So, basically, what I have been doubting is that this is a guy that you want in a 14 or 15-team mixed league, which he appears to be owned in a lot of right now. I still don't think he's an ad in 12-team mm-hmm. mixed league, and people aren't really doing that. Okay. So, but, yeah, it's giving me second thoughts for those deeper formats.
Carlos Correa had 3 steals last night. He is he's off to a fantastic start to his major league career. He is second in baseball in batted balls over 100 miles an hour since getting the call. Ryan Braun is 1 for his last 23. Any concerns over the thumb? He missed time. Was that last weekend that he missed a time? Or
I thought
weekends?
It was a little. I think it was. I'm thinking 2. I don't know okay. for sure, but it seems longer ago.
Any concern about that at this point? He's been very up and down this season. There's been times when we've talked about him getting back to the form that he showed in his, maybe not his MVP kind of seasons, but before that. But now he's got a 781 OPS, which is right in line with what he did last season.
I will say I hadn't had concerns, but that you bring up the timing with the cryogenic treatment. Mm-hmm. It is a little odd, but you would think he would have done better yeah. after the treatment, not worse. So it's definitely something to watch. As of right now, I have no real concerns about Braun.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly been homering at a better rate than we've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like he just needs to get hot. And
he might just be a streaky hitter at this point yeah. in his career. He's definitely not that elite guy he once was.
Well, and maybe he could be. I mean, he puts together a hot streak, gets that batting average up to 280 and the OPS to 850, 900.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think there's the potential
for
possible. That.
JJ Hardy is hitting 390 during the course of an 11-game hitting streak. He is 30% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. Any interest in JJ Hardy in a 12-team league?
No.
Okay.
he's a very streaky player, yeah. though. I mean, confirmed streaky player. And, you know, I think a lot of times these power surges begin with just making better contact, yeah. and that seems to be what he's doing over these last 11 games. So if he has this 4-week stretch where he hits 9 home runs, it wouldn't surprise me. That being said, I want to see that first one before
he's only got 2
I buy
on
into him. Yeah.
Any other standouts from Thursday as far as the hitters go? Thursday was kind of a pitcher heavier day than hitters. There weren't any 17 run. Actually, I think there was one, but not quite like Wednesday.
Well, there is one. There are a couple guys that I think are worth talking about. One of them came off the bench with the 3-run homer and hasn't really been lumped in with the prospects who've been called up recently, and that's Domingo Santana, mm-hmm. who, if you look at his AAA numbers, I mean, they're as impressive as anyone's. And he came up last year. He struck out. He got 17 at-bats, went 0 for 17 with 14 strikeouts. It was as embarrassing of a showing as it could get, but he's 22 years old.
Yeah. Career minor league 850 OPS, career 911 OPS in AAA at a very young age. So there is some interest there.
Jake Mariznick sucks.
Yeah.
And George Springer's capable of playing center field. He moved over to center field yesterday in yesterday's game. So I don't – it's not unthinkable he could stick around.
They're another team.
So Santana could stick around.
They're another team that might have a little too much talent for the roster spaces. Preston Tucker did homer for the second straight game. He was fantasy relevant earlier in the season. He's been cold since. Anyone else?
But maybe picking it back up again.
Yeah.
Well, just to finish the thought on Santana, I don't think he's a priority to add the same way as Schwarber because he does have plate discipline issues, yep. but it's just somebody to keep an eye on because there's definite upside there. The other player I wanted to talk about is Carlos Gonzalez.
Cargo.
Yeah, 4 home runs in his last 6 games. And I had pretty much gotten to the point with him where, you know, if I had him on a roster, it was just there because his name is Carlos Gonzalez. Like, yeah. I wasn't putting any faith in him anymore. And
3 straight games with a home run now, 7 RBI in that span. Yeah. And only two of them have been at Coors Field.
So, you know, maybe I was rushing to judgment there. I mean, the overall numbers still don't look good, but.
But 306, 348, 661 triple slash, six home runs, 14 RBI in 16 June games.
Right. So I'm back to starting him, if nothing else.
You're definitely being rewarded for hanging on to him for his name. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think he is a starting caliber player.
Right.
Now, want to move on to pitchers. This Mike Pelfrey thing, eight innings, four hits, one run, one walk, three strikeouts, and a no decision against the Cardinals.
Yeah, well.
Still can't buy it, right?
I still can't. He was terrible in the previous start. Do you recall offhand who the opponent was?
I don't.
All right, well, because the point I wanted to make is that the Cardinals have really become pretty dreadful mm-hmm. against righties. So, you know, given that Pelfrey's, you know, he's just not doing anything that would make you think that he can keep producing starts like this.
Eight runs on 11 hits in 3 2/3 innings against the Rangers. Seven innings, one run or less in his other four starts around that.
Yeah. So, there's been relative consistency from Pelfrey, so it would seem like there's something there. But, you know, any other pitcher with, you know, about 4 Ks per nine and
yeah.
so-so control, you know, the ground balls only get you so far.
Pelfrey or R.A. Dickey, who went 7 1/3, one earned run, three earned runs in five straight games.
Well, man, you want to talk so-so control.
Yeah, five walks, seven strikeouts last night. Are you buying into either one of those guys? Pick one of them for a 15-team.
Well, if you're making me pick one, I'm picking Pelfrey. I don't think there's much left for Dickey. His strikeout rate has fallen way off. Not that it was great.
Yeah.
About the only thing he's doing is pitching deep into games, and he's not even doing that as well as Pelfrey. Like you said, four of the last five starts, seven innings or more there. Mm-hmm. So Dickey's just a space filler right now, and Pelfrey is probably too, but
all right,
at least there's a little something to sink your teeth into.
You know how we've I'm sorry
oh go ahead
how we've talked about the Nationals, they don't seem to let their starters go deep.
Mm-hmm.
It yep. seems like the Blue Jays let everybody pitch deep, and I could look at it seems like even Aaron Sanchez and Drew Hutchison, who, you know, their stats overall not very good, but even the, you know, and younger guys,
yeah,
and it seems like they're going 7+ a lot of times.
I read an article in the National Post that they've kind of gone away from, you know, they used to, when they had Noah Syndergaard and Justin Nicolino and those types of guys, those big pitching prospects, they were handling them with kid gloves to a very large extent. And I think what I was reading is that they're kind of going the other way. They're not throwing out pitch counts, but they're less concerned about that because they see that there might be less value in that. From their perspective. So that's definitely something to think about and keep in mind with Blue Jays pitchers. Let's talk about those guys are both owned in 39% of leagues. Kendall Graveman is only owned in 23% of leagues. He was someone who came into the season with a decent amount of hype and then really stunk up the joint in April. But since coming back, he has a 2.27 ERA, a 40-9 strikeout to walk ratio, and he went seven innings with two runs, six strikeouts, one walk, five hits last night, seven-plus inning pitch, and three straight. I added him in a 12-team mixed league. What about you guys?
Was it a head-to-head points league?
No, it was not.
Making use of his relief pitcher eligibility?
It was not. It was a league where I, up until 5 days ago, I had Mike Foltynewicz in my starting lineup.
Well, okay. So it sounds like you have real pitching woes there.
Yes.
By the way, what's interesting is I got a Twitter question yesterday, somebody who was dropping Fulte and wanted a SPARP replacement, and I thought Graveman was the best
in
that format. Yeah,
I think based on what he's doing here, the relief pitcher eligibility is so valuable for a full-time starting pitcher in that format that you just kind of have to pick him up. But I am still a little less than totally sold on this turnaround for Graveman, because in these three starts, he has allowed four home runs. Okay. And this was even a home start. This last one, it was two home runs at home. And, I mean, he is getting ground balls at a good rate, but if he's still giving up home runs, then it's kind of negating the value of giving up ground balls. You're just leaving yourself vulnerable to singles in the meantime.
On the other hand, his last six starts, only five home runs total. I did misquote his strikeout rate is 30-9, strikeout to walk ratio. 30 strikeouts and 39 and two-thirds innings. Well, I wanted to correct that.
But five strikeouts in over a six-start span, that's not a good rate. That's giving up.
Yeah. Well, five home runs in six starts isn't great. You're right. But yeah. It's not. It's better than 4-3.
It's better than 4-1 also. I mean.
I'm pretty good at math. I know that one for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he's a must-add, but
yeah,
he's doing enough interesting things for me to give him a look. Let's look at Ian Kennedy, 68% owned. Six innings, one run, four strikeouts, 2.63 ERA, 22-4 strikeout to walk ratio in his last four games. Are we back to picking up Ian Kennedy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He's kind of on a probationary status with me because this is a long time that he's been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
But he's, clearly got a lot of potential still.
Two pitchers got rained out last night. Jason Hamill and Danny Salazar both went under five innings. There was an hour and 13-minute rain delay in that one. Two pretty high-end pitchers that you lost a start for. And Brad Boxberger got the save for Tampa Bay because they refused to make things easy.
Yeah. Or if we want to make him French, Boxberger.
Look, nerds, this is what you wanted. This is your dystopian non-closer future. This is Mad Max. The manager is going 100 miles an hour on the highway, just throwing the best reliever out there that he can to save his life. This is what you wanted, nerds.
But it didn't even make sense in this scenario because McGee still pitched the eighth, and it's not like he was facing, a string of left-handed hitters. He was just I don't remember who it was he faced, but it wasn't like these scary left-handed bats. It wasn't even left-handed bats. So I don't know what motivated him to bring in McGee in the eighth instead of the ninth, like he'd been doing, Kevin Cash being him. Antecedent on that pronoun.
Yeah, I think the manager's just collectively out to troll us. Cody Allen pitched in the, I think it was the fifth.
Yes, but that actually did make sense because he came in when that was right after the rain delay. Yeah. And I think the bases were loaded and he's like, all right,
yeah,
this is where we're going.
A fireman. Yeah, that's essentially a save.
Right. And that's what Terry Francona was saying. So that, you know, the Brian Shaw save, you can obviously ignore that. But there seems to be no rhyme or reason to the way Kevin Cash is using his bullpen in Tampa Bay right now. And it kind of makes both Boxberger and McGee must own, but very difficult to start outside of a roto league.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they're stash guys. I want to go back to something I said a while ago that people probably forgot, but talking about the Cardinals as a matchup against right-handed pitchers. I actually just noted that they're second in batting average against righties, but it's with no power and fueled by a .322 BABIP.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
And 20th in runs scored. So
who the players are that they have right now that would really make you fear them against a right-handed pitcher? You know, Colton Wong's a lefty, but he, for his career, doesn't have major platoon splits. I think he might actually be better against lefties.
I think for the season he does. Okay. Does he not? He has good numbers anyway. I don't know if there's a big split, but yeah, Wong and Carpenter.
Yeah.
It's about it, I think.
Turns out they miss Matt Adams.
Well, historically, Hayward's only hit righties.
Yeah.
It just surprises me that they're so bad against righties because their lineup is so left-handed heavy. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to the five-man rotation for Thursday night. Five pitchers who are owned in between 77 and 95% of leagues. I want you to rank these five guys. Clay Buchholz, seven innings, six hits, no earned runs, only three strikeouts. Jeff Samardzija, seven innings, 10 hits, two earned runs, seven strikeouts. CJ Wilson, eight innings, eight hits, one run, nine strikeouts. Jaime Garcia, six innings, four hits, no earned runs, four strikeouts. And Doug Fister, 5 1/3, nine hits, five runs, three strikeouts.
This is a fun one.
Rank those five guys.
I'm going to go almost in the order you put them. Buchholz, Samardzija, Jaime Garcia, Wilson, Fister.
You, my friend, have no faith in CJ Wilson, and I get it. He's been pretty bad for the last few years. Do want to point out, 7-plus strikeouts in 5 straight starts. That was the thing he was doing earlier in the season. He was getting good results without a lot of strikeouts. Now, he's starting to kind of look like that guy that was a much better pitcher back in his Texas Rangers days.
Well, my friend, I actually do have some faith in C.J. Wilson, and I said this is a fun one.
Okay.
Other than Doug Fister,
it's hard
to rank those four. I put them all in a fairly similar class.
You want them all other than Doug Fister,
yeah.
I think it's fair to say.
And Doug Fister is the second most owned out of the five. There's no word for five people, is there?
Quintet, yeah,
okay,
sure.
There you go.
But if you just look at C.J. Wilson's overall numbers, and you could kind of say the same thing for Clay Buchholz. You know, there's been so many ups and downs with both of these pitchers. But if you just assess them on their full season line, C.J. Wilson has a 3.39 ERA and 1.12 WHIP, which would be a career best, by the way. His strikeout rate, 7.8 per nine. Not great, but you mentioned the strikeouts recently. Over his last 5 starts, it's 10.3 per nine.
39 in 35 innings.
This is the best C.J. Wilson's ever been right now. And I don't really understand what's led up to it. His pitch selection this year has been all over the place. He's kind of been reinventing himself because last year was so bad. But I'm intrigued the way these last 5 starts have gone with the strikeouts, because if that's something he can sustain on some level, and I don't think he'll be a 10.3 strikeout per nine the rest of the season, but 8.5 to 9 per nine with an improved WHIP because of improved control, he's somebody who maybe we haven't been giving enough credit to.
Yeah,
I think he had a hard time coming up with Quintet. Because the standard Rock Band format is a quartet, right?
I had a completely different word in my head. I'm not even going to say it because it's so far off what it was at. Because the thing I said about being good at math, it was a lie.
Oh, okay. But it's like there's a lot of well-known, 4-person rock bands. There's power trios.
Yeah.
But other than the Stones, can you think of a really well-known 5-piece band? The Stones are 5, right?
Yeah, nobody who's really known for being, I think Aerosmith is a 5-piece band, but like nobody really thinks of Aerosmith. You think of the two guys. You think of the what's his name, the other
guy. I couldn't name the other three.
The what's his name and the other guy. You sound like me.
I really can't think of their names.
Steven Tyler and Joe Perry.
There you go.
No relation to Dane.
I couldn't name the other. I hadn't heard of that guy. What was it? What did you say his name was?
Joe Perry.
Joe Perry.
He's the guitar player.
Okay. Play that guitar, Joe.
They're the only two guys that were in the Run DMC video. That's why anybody knows them.
Something wrong in the world today.
Oh, stop that. Aerosmith is not good, and that is maybe the worst Aerosmith song.
But I know it.
Yeah.
I contribute.
I think we all do.
I can contribute a little something to this discussion, which is rare.
Clay Buchholz, only 3 strikeouts last night. He had allowed 8 earned runs in 10 2/3 innings in his previous 2 starts. You have him as the top one among this quintet. Boy, this is not a good look.
You throw another one and it's a sextet, right?
It is.
And then a septet.
I'm not touching that.
Yeah. Well.
Jeff Samardzija. What do we think of Jeff Samardzija? 14 strikeouts, 1 walk in his last 14 innings, 5 runs in that span. Do we think he's turning it around?
Honestly, no. Okay. I think, and I'm not saying he's bad.
It's just what is a turned around Jeff Samardzija anyway? It's a decent pitcher, but we don't know. There is no Jeff Samardzija. There's a different Jeff Samardzija every season.
That's right. He's right. Like, who's the actress that Mira Sorvino, who looks different every time I see her in a different role.
Yeah.
I think a turned around Jeff Samardzija would be the guy we saw for most of last year. We got a lot more ground balls.
Well, last year he was like an ace.
Yeah.
It was best season ever.
Hold on. Is today's Adam Azer's birthday? That's what Facebook's telling me. Happy birthday, Adam Azer.
Facebook doesn't lie.
He's like, guys, I'm not going to be here Friday for some strange reason.
Happy birthday, Adam, if it is your birthday. If not, ignore it.
If you're listening.
If you're listening. He's going to listen. He needs to make sure I didn't screw up. This is his baby. He's not going to just trust me to handle his baby.
Yeah. Well, I want it.
I know. Rightly so. Let's move on to, is there anything else to say about these five pitchers, specifically the four we talked about? Jaime Garcia does have a 1.76 ERA in six starts. And he's always been a decent pitcher, just kind of can't stay healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's been the story, I think, three straight seasons with season-ending surgery.
Does seem like he's taken things up a notch so far this year.
He's been pretty good.
But no strikeouts, really.
All right, let's look at roster trends. The most added, our Taylor Swift song for this segment, You Belong With Me. The most added players in CBSSports.com leagues. Not much change over the course of the week. It's been the same kind of seven guys. Byron Buxton, 41% up. Francisco Lindor, 61% owned. Do you think that's too high for Lindor?
Yeah, I do.
I agree. I think what I was thinking what his best case scenario might be, and I feel like it's Elvis Andrus with fewer steals, which isn't that impressive.
I do think he'll eventually get to a point where he is a contributor in batting average. Because he makes good contact. Yeah. Seems to have a decent batting eye and you know, just hasn't matured to that point yet. I don't know that I'd be totally opposed to taking a flyer on him if I was in a hard up for a shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, 61% versus J.J. Hardy's 30%.
Yeah.
We were just talking about him earlier.
Wilmer Flores, 68. Would you rather have him or Lindor?
I'd rather have Flores.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would too. So, yeah, I could see that being too high.
Charlie Morton, 57% owned. Do you think that's too low?
Too low? No, I don't.
You think it's too high?
What I was going to say, I think it's probably about just right, or maybe a little too low given that this was a two-start week for him. So I could see people picking him up just for that.
And picking him up a little too late now, since this was a two-start week.
Right. So, but I'm saying there's probably some hangover here. Yeah. But certainly if it's this, you know, by the end of the weekend, it's much too high.
Okay. Kyle Schwarber, 42% owned. I think that's probably too low, but it could be too high in 4 days.
Yeah.
Jace Peterson up to 43%. Mitch Moreland up to 49%. Do you think that's too low for Mitch Moreland with the way he's swinging the bat? First base is a very deep position.
Yeah, that's tough thing.
And is he outfield eligible?
No.
No,
just first base eligible, so it's...
Although he's an outfielder on FanDuel for some strange reason.
That is strange.
Just like Kyle Schwarber.
Huh. I don't mind it because it means I end up playing him more. And he's been great, like you said, but it is such a deep position that who are you going to bump to get Mitch Moreland in your lineup? It is worth noting, though, when we do preview week 12, I do have him as one of my five up this week.
Okay.
So for some reason... Your normal first baseman isn't available to you. He might be a good 1 week fill-in, if nothing else.
We will get to that in a couple of minutes. Right after Mitch Moreland, Kevin Pillar up to 59%. Wilmer Flores, 68%. Brock Holt, 32%. Matt Latos up to 58%. What did you think of his encore last night? First start after his 11 strikeouts, he went 5 2/3, 3 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. Is that concerning? Is that promising? A little column B, a little column A?
I'd say promising.
Yeah, I'm less concerned about the result, and Brooks Baseball still hasn't updated yet. I checked this morning.
69 strikes, 108 pitches, so that's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, you're looking for the velocity.
I'm looking for the velocity because that was the big change coming off the DL. Was up 2 miles per hour up to where it was.
It can be a tough lineup, especially a tough place to pitch for right-handed pitchers. So
he was a little shaky in the first, and a little shaky, obviously with the last two batters he faced. But in between, looked really solid against a lineup that's not that easy in the stadium. That's not that easy.
So were you watching the game then?
Yeah.
I know it was against the Marlins. Was he throwing 95, 96?
I don't recall him hitting 95, 96. I remember some 93, 94. But yeah, I don't know what he maxed out at.
I'd want to see the average velocity on that because that's everything.
Was a big part of why last Saturday's start was so promising, is that he had 96 on the...
Yeah,
on the radar gun
which
at one point.
Isn't everything. I realize that, but just with Latos, since his downfall coincided with the drop in velocity, if the velocity comes back and that start, the 11 strikeout start against Colorado, and That could be a game changer for him if he's able to sustain it.
Let's look at the most dropped players, or we are never, ever, ever getting back together.
We.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like turning that word, that two-letter word into a two-syllable word.
I'm assuming you guys have never seen the music video for that.
Correct.
It's incredibly strange. And there are people dressed in animal costumes, and it's very strange. If you want to have like a midday kind of divergent thing to watch, that video is quite fascinating. Most dropped players: Mike Foltynewicz, Shane Green, both of them sent to the minors. So that makes perfect sense. Any reason to stash either one of those guys? 24% and 32% owned, respectively.
I don't have really any interest in stashing Shane Green except in AL only, but Folty in deeper mixed leagues I think needs to be stashed. And in fact, the Braves said he will likely be up again.
I'm surprised you said that, because I was already, like, even before he got sent down, the way I was ready to swap him out for somebody else. Yep.
I dropped him for Latos earlier in the week.
Yeah. Who's another good example? Maybe like a Jesse Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how owned he is right now, but I don't think he's that widely owned.
Even a Kendall Graveman?
Yeah. Well, I guess that was the example Al used himself in terms of swapping out him out as a SPARP.
Yeah. No, in a 12-team mixed, I've already dropped Folty, but in deeper, I think it's premature.
Okay.
We've got Ryan Vogelsong down 12% to 22%. We've got Mike Pelfrey. Despite
the bad start before
that's
that.
Been that makes sense. Even with the good start, he's going to be among the most added players this weekend just because he went 8 innings. But this is a what will you do for me in the future kind of thing, and it's hard to see Mike Pelfrey doing anything. Chad Bettis down 10%. Aaron Harang down 9% to 72%. Do you think 72 is still too high?
Yeah, probably. It's funny because just right around the time that he started to regress harshly, I was starting to buy into Harang finally. So there may be something there, but you know, 72%, I mean, that's still pretty high.
Some interesting names have been dropped down 8%. Marcus Semien down to 83%. Alex Guerrero, 54%. Jimmy Nelson, 53%. Are any of those guys worth dropping further?
So you said Semien, Nelson, and Guerrero?
Yep. I think Guerrero probably is.
I mean, they're not on equal levels in terms of how owned they should be. But
Guerrero and Nelson are both at 54 and 53.
Right.
Semien's 83. Do you think that's too high for any of them?
No, I don't think so. And honestly, I think it might be a little too low for Marcus Semien, because what shortstop are you picking up to start over him?
Yep.
You know, Jimmy Nelson's funny because he has such lopsided splits, and you know, he was horrible last night.
Again.
But I kind of like him next week, and I should pull up my column draft because I don't remember top of mind
We're going to go right into the Week 12. Let's start with the Week 12 hitters. You can find your find your Jimmy Nelson stuff for us.
Okay.
Scott, you have the floor.
All righty.
Talk to me about some Week 12. Who's got the best matchups for Week 12?
Well, there are only 6 teams playing 7 games. The rest all play 6. So not like this past week where every team played 7. Makes things a little more complicated. But there is one series at Colorado, and it's between the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, two teams with bad pitching.
Yeah.
So, not surprisingly, the Rockies and Diamondbacks are both among my top 5 matchups. Also, Tampa Bay, I like this week. Boston and Milwaukee. Those are the 5 best.
Tampa Bay, Boston, Milwaukee, Colorado, and Arizona.
Yes. And the additional note for Boston is that it's nothing but right-handed pitchers. Which
is great, because they don't have anyone that can hit lefties, except for Xander Bogaerts, probably.
Well, and then one guy who has been hot lately and hits righties especially well.
I can think of 2 guys.
Stay out of the bathroom and off the off the Instagramming device.
I think he had 4 straight multi-hit games and was then benched for liking photos on Instagram.
Liking photos.
If either one of you goes on Instagram during this podcast, I'm kicking you out. I just want it known.
Well, I take exception to the wording. He was benched for liking photos on Instagram. Wasn't he just benched for looking at photos on Instagram?
Well, yeah, like, but
it wasn't the liking that got him benched.
Known. It's the activity.
They may have known.
It's not the act. It's the getting caught.
He may have come in with a guilty look on his face, and they're like, Pablo, what happened?
I don't think that's what happened. No. I think Instagram has an activity feed. Social media is creepy.
Yeah, no, that's somebody, I forget, some journalist somewhere, saw that he was on Instagram.
It happened to LeBron James this playoffs, too. Not during the game, but he always says, he makes a big point every year, I'm throwing my phone away during the playoffs. And then he got caught liking pictures on Instagram like 2 weeks into the playoffs during a series.
Did he get benched?
No. For some reason, LeBron James did not get benched.
He was immune from that. All right.
Who are your favorite hitters for this week?
Okay. So Sandoval and Moreland, who I mentioned. Moreland, the Rangers weren't among the five best matchups, but they do have solid matchups and five righties.
Obviously. That's a big thing for him, getting a lot of righties in the same week. That's when you can really start Mitch Moreland.
Yep. Kind of a deeper play, David Peralta, because, again, another team facing a lot of righties, five for the Diamondbacks and the three games at Coors Field, and Peralta doesn't have the playing time concerns he's had all season because now Ender Inciarte is on the DL. Mm-hmm. So it would probably be a strange scenario where you could actually fit him in your lineup, but I do like him this week. I like Chris Carter this week. He's been heating up.
Yep. He's one of those guys, when he heats up, man, he's a must play. At least in Roto, for sure.
Yeah. I could see doing Brock Holt with the favorable matchups for the Red Sox and as hot as he's been, and you can play him in any of four positions.
Yeah.
It'd be easy way to work him into the lineup. Let's talk about some of the bad matchups this week. The Reds are the worst, followed by the Marlins. Sorry to say, guys. The Braves.
Okay, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
The Cubs and the Angels. Now, the Marlins is actually really notable here because four of the six games are against left-handed pitchers, which is terrible news for a guy who looks like he's finally starting to turn things around. Christian Yelich is going to come. It's gonna, you know, lose the momentum.
I might have to sit him.
Yeah, probably want to sit him. And really, a lot of the players I don't like this week have, you know, a lot of the guys I liked are good against right-handed pitchers. Yep. A lot of the guys I don't like are bad against left-handed pitchers. So
makes sense.
The Marlins are drawing a lot of the lefties this week. So are the Royals. Eric Hosmer hasn't been so productive of late. So at a deep position, I could see sitting him. Maybe you sit him 1 week for Moreland. Maybe that's a way to get Moreland in your lineup. Luis Valbuena, in addition to the unsustainable home run rate, three lefties, he's batting like 127 against lefties, which is probably only about 212 against righties, but still.
All right.
Neil Walker and Cole Calhoun, the Angels, I mentioned them among the worst matchups, and the Pirates are at home all week, where Walker hasn't done anything and really only has four home runs all year. It's just, there's a theme this week where a lot of the hitters who have kind of underwhelmed to this point, the matchups don't look great for them. And I just think we're at a point in the season where it's time to start considering alternatives. Yeah. Even at second base, you got guys like Logan Forsythe, Brock Holt, who you could maybe swap in for Walker. Not saying you're dropping Walker, but it's just time to get some productivity out of that spot.
All right, let's move on to the Week 12 pitchers. Al, I did some research. You guys will be proud of me.
All right.
I looked at some of the two-star pitchers. Here are the guys that stuck out to me. Let's see if they overlap.
Okay.
Drew Hutchinson at Tampa Bay versus Texas. Ubaldo Jimenez at Boston versus Cleveland. Jesse Chavez at Texas versus Kansas City. Mike Fiers versus New York Mets versus Minnesota, I'm assuming. My distaste for Mike Fiers is very well known. But that's a great matchup. I'm assuming he's one of your favorites.
Yep.
Justin Verlander at Cleveland versus Chicago White Sox. And Brett Oberholzer at L.A. versus New York Yankees. Any overlap there? Tell me I'm stupid.
Well, okay, so when you say interesting,
you're stupid.
You mean good?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I find all those really interesting. I only feel safe with maybe one or two of them. But no, there's a lot of borderline cases this week. It seems like more than usual.
Well, there's a lot of studs getting two starts this week. I noticed that. A lot of the, you know, most of the top 10 are starting twice this week.
So, so it means that you might not have a lot of work to do on waivers. But the ones who I'm targeting are not necessarily the most owned guys that are available and not necessarily the ones who look the best. So just to address some of the guys that you mentioned, I think probably the three that teeter on the border the most for me are Colin McHugh, Drew Hutchison, and Jesse Chavez. Chavez, 9 of his 11 starts have been in pitcher's parks, including the ones at home. His first one is at Texas this week. So that for me is maybe it's a weak killer.
Come on. Texas isn't that extreme of a hitter's park anymore. And you've been stashing Chavez all this time waiting for the two-start week. He's been great. You got to get him in now that he's finally making two starts.
That might be a mistake because you're saying you've waited all this time because he's been so good, but he's been so good because he's had favorable venues.
Yeah, but he's a relief pitcher, and he's making two starts, and he's been good. Like I don't think we need to overthink this.
In a head-to-head league, the chances of him getting just a negative in that game are pretty low probably.
Well, okay, and yeah, particularly in that format, you probably
have to start him.
Yeah. I don't think you have to. I think you lean. So McHugh, now not no RPL eligibility there, but I wasn't as encouraged by the start yesterday, even though it was his best in a while. And then his first starts at the Angels, that's great, but then he goes home to face the Yankees. So again, I'm just starting McHugh if I don't really like my other options, or if I feel like I've got to shoot for the moon to try to make up space in the standings. And then Hutchison, similar situation, starts off at Tampa Bay, that looks good, but then at home versus the Rangers.
Yep.
So those guys to me are all borderline cases who you could start, but they wouldn't be my first choices. I do like Fires better versus the Mets and the Twins. Hard to beat those matchups. I'm not. I think I would go no on Ubaldo, given some of the alternatives that are out there. You mentioned Oberholzer. I think I'm going to take a wait and see.
Yeah.
On him, he starts also at the Angels, which is great, but then versus the Yankees. Two guys I like who are probably not on a lot of people's radar, who I like a lot. Tsuyoshi Wada, of course, very good last time out. Gets the Dodgers again at home and then at St. Louis. And we've talked a lot about how the Dodgers are just ridiculous against righties, not very good against lefties.
All right.
Ooh. So, and then Malone at home against the White Sox, and then at the Brewers. Those are great matchups.
All right, let's move on. Really quickly, we'll play some fill in the blank space. I would trade Chris Archer for blank.
Is that another Taylor Swift reference, blank space?
Blank space, yes.
Okay.
Maybe her best song.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sing it.
I've got a blank space, baby. I'll write your name. All right, let's go.
All right. I would trade Chris Archer for... I don't have an answer off the top of my head.
we love the open-ended
I wrote a blog post yesterday at Fantasy Baseball Today blog giving fantasy trade advice. And for Chris Archer, I said, you're aiming for Giancarlo Stanton and you're settling for Yasiel Puig.
That sounds reasonable to me, yeah. That's a good call.
Todd Frazier is a top five hitter in fantasy baseball right now. He will finish the season, or rest of the season, he will be a top blank hitter.
25.
I was going to say 20, so yeah, we're right there.
Joey Gallo, the first game back from the All-Star break is July 17th. Joey Gallo will be playing in blank on July 17th. Give me a level or a city, if you want to look up.
I was going to say left field.
Okay.
And in whatever city the Rangers are playing with the rest of the Rangers team.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. D. Gordon will finish the season with a blank batting average.
Oh.
I believe he's still in around the 350 area.
Yeah. I'm going to say
99.
I'm going to say 310.
Carson Smith will finish with blank saves.
17.
16.
Oh, wow. That was good. Okay, let's catch up on some of the smaller news before we get to emails to finish off the show. First, or Martin Prado hits the DL with a shoulder injury, so Derek Dietrich, NL only, is going to be viable for at least the next 12 days or so. Carlos Gomez missed three of the last four games with a hip injury, including Thursday. Pablo Sandoval, we already went through that. Jed Lowry starting to take grounders. He's been doing light throwing work. He could be ready come mid to late July. Zach Walters was sent back to AAA. Adam Jones missed his third straight with a right shoulder injury, but he's expected back today, Friday. Corey Seager is not an option for the Los Angeles Dodgers right now, but they do not expect to make a trade if Jimmy Rollins got hurt for some reason, so he would be the guy in that situation. Chris Medlin set to begin a rehab assignment today. Scott Copeland will start Sunday for the versus the Orioles. Aaron Sanchez is not ready. Adam Jones, oh, I already had that. John Moskett likely out for the year. I put Adam Jones on there twice. It's really important.
It is
John Moskett likely out for the year with a shoulder injury. That's a Reds rookie pitcher. He was in the rotation. I don't know what we. I think we talked about this yesterday. It's not really clear who might slip into the rotation for him.
It's going to be either Josh Smith, mm-hmm. not the dunker,
okay,
or David Holmberg. My guess is Holmberg because that would line him up with the schedule he had been on in AAA. But okay. One of those two.
Ugh. All right, and let's close off. I don't know. We should probably get to some DFS. I know, Al, you looked at DFS.
Yep.
Let's look at some emails first. If you want to email the show, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com from Luke. Best outfielder rest of season in a points league. Christian Yelich, Nick Markakis, Ben Revere, Kevin Pillar, Rusne Castillo.
It's between Castillo and Yelich for me, and I still am going to lean Castillo, although I actually dropped him in a points league recently just because I felt like I could get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still holding out hope that eventually he's going to secure a full-time role in that outfield and show the potential that I believe he has.
All right.
I don't trust the Red Sox to give him enough of an opportunity to outproduce Yelich.
Mac in Oshkosh. Good morning, nerds. Miguel Sano, I'm assuming it's Miguel Sano and not Mohamed Sanu, although he did spell it Sanu. Miguel Sano is available in my 12-team mixed league. Would you drop Neil Walker, Ben Zobrist, or Andrelton Simmons for him? That's from Mac in Oshkosh.
Oof. It's going to be one of Zobrist and Simmons. I'm
not dropping Zobrist.
Yeah, he's too hot right now.
Recently.
Well, yeah, I was good.
I think I
Simmons.
Can drop Simmons.
Simmons. It's tough, though.
I might actually lean Walker.
I was because
you
that
could
also.
Move Zobrist over to second base if you needed to.
Yep.
But it depends. I assume you have a different player you're playing at second base right now to even consider dropping Walker.
All right, Michael. I believe these are all Minnesota Twins legends: Harmon Killebrew, Rod Carew, and Kirby Puckett. I'm in a 10-team head-to-head categories keeper league. Drafted Tulo and was about to stash Carlos Correa before his call-up. Would you suggest trading Tulo with Correa up?
I think. You try it. You see if he can really cash in there.
You're looking for probably a top 20 pitcher if you're looking to move him for a pitcher.
A top 10 pitcher.
Yeah.
Top 10 pitcher.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean,
and it's got to be a stud.
If you're not able to get a first round level return or at least second round level return for Tulo, then you shouldn't be trading him. Might actually want to shop Correa instead because
it's a keeper league though.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that probably changes it. But right. Still, I mean, you need to get something really good in return for Tulo.
All right. Dennis writes in, hey, guys, first-time emailer. Question is this. Who is going to have the better rest of season, Garrett Cole or Clayton Kershaw?
Kershaw.
Cole's been significantly better this season, but it's got to be Kershaw.
It's got to be Kershaw. But we love Garrett Cole.
Mr. Towers, Al, and Mr. White, I guess
I'll
you are not
one.
I guess you aren't a
Maybe you didn't know how to spell your last name.
I'm going with that.
Yeah. Al's, AL. It's hard to mess that up.
He nailed it.
Most valuable start. And we both have our names are standard. Pretty.
Yeah.
They're verb. They're nouns.
They're word. Yeah.
Most valuable starting pitcher for the rest of the season. Foltynewicz, Whistler, Corbin, Haney, or Irvin Santana. That's from Yancey Yadkin in Bug Tussle, Oklahoma. That is a great town name.
That is super. I mean, it's going to be either Corbin or Santana. I'll go Corbin. I think Santana's probably safer.
Yeah.
But I'll still go Corbin.
Yeah, Corbin. Corbin for the upside.
All right. Let's look at our FanDuel again, FanDuel.com. If you want to play along, watch Daily Fantasy Live, 6 p.m. on CBSSports.com. Who's on it today?
Melchior, M-E-L-C-H-I-O-R.
Scott would address me by my whole name.
Mr. Melchior. All right. Talk to me about today's game. We've got some big-name pitchers going today, five over $9,000. And they've got some pretty decent matchups overall. Tell me about them.
Yep. We've got Chris Sale versus the Rangers.
Is Chris Sale a must-play at this point?
I don't think so. He's $11,000.
Yep.
And maybe with lesser alternatives, he would be, because the only pitcher I think who's better right now is Clayton Kershaw. And I'm not even – they might be on a par.
A pretty lefty-heavy Texas Rangers lineup, though.
Yeah. I'm not really fearing that. It's just it's $11,000, and then look at your alternatives. Jacob deGrom at Atlanta – 10-8. Here's probably
$200.
My $200. Well, it gets better.
Okay.
All right. So here's my favorite pitcher of the day, and you'll probably be shocked by this. Sonny Gray at home versus the Angels at 10-1. So a $900 savings compared to Sale. Much better matchup. Great matchup, in fact. And then you got Shields at the Diamondbacks at 9,500. Burnett at the Nationals, 9,200. So yeah, those are all your 9,000 plus options. And then you got Carrasco versus the Rays, very nice matchup at 8,800.
Is that your guy, Carrasco?
My top guy is Gray. So is Gray.
Okay.
But I am going to play for sure a Lance McCullers lineup.
Yeah,
and
you
I
should.
I would say McCullers is my second favorite pitcher, and it's really close. $6,700 at Seattle. At Seattle.
And the strikeout potential, which
I
try not to start a guy who I don't think can get like 8+ strikeouts in a start. We know McCullers can. We know Carrasco can at 8,800. Sale, for me, Sale's my guy. There's no way I go away from Sale no matter what the matchup is right now.
Yeah, you talk about 8 strikeout potential. He's got 12 strikeout potential.
Right. When I talk about my guy, I'm talking cash games. Because, I mean, cash games are the foundation of your success in DFS. You have to win your cash games to keep playing.
Yeah.
Basically, the tournaments, you're just kind of throwing wild card picks out there in the hopes of scoring big. But Sale's the guy I'm going in cash games.
All right,
for
and
sure.
Give me a stack each.
All right.
I think there's one really obvious one.
Well, there's two, I think. So I'm not sure if this is the one. My favorite stack is the Blue Jays against Mike Wright.
Yep.
Okay. Rockies isn't bad either, but we can get to that. But, yeah, Mike Wright, this is in Toronto. Not that it would really matter because, you know, Baltimore also a good venue for hitters against Wright. But in Toronto, so Joey Bats at 5,100, Donaldson at 46, Encarnacion 3,900.
Problem is Blue Jays and Rockies are both very expensive stacks.
Yeah, but there's some cheaper options that are also very good, too. Colabello, 2,900. Mm-hmm. Kevin Pillar is not something I normally get that excited about, but he's really heated up in June, and this is against a righty, and he's 3,000. So, you know, you obviously can't get all the studs in there at the high prices, but maybe you can go, you know, Bautista and Donaldson or Russell Martin, you know, like two of those three. And then, you know, get Pillar and or Colabello in there.
You know, not to bring us back to pitchers, but I'm just noticing Joe Ross today is $5,000.
Definitely a tournament player.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to have a McCullers lineup, definitely a Ross lineup, definitely a Carrasco lineup.
And I'm definitely going to have a
several
Boston
sale
stack at some point.
Okay, against
very
Pino?
Good against right-handed pitchers and Johan Pino. 4.93
The only concern with that, and you know, it's not like you can't have a Boston stack. It's worth trying. But Pino has been pitching out of the bullpen a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to get an early hook, and the Royals' bullpen is obviously ridiculous.
Yeah. But
what if he goes all Joe Blanton on us?
Well, then
then
it goes five strong innings. Then that's five innings where the Red Sox weren't hitting. So I don't know. It still may work out. I'm not saying you can't do a Red Sox stack. It's just not my favorite stack because of that.
All right, guys. We are way over time. I didn't say let's speed this up once.
That's
my problem.
Happened.
I'm sorry, Adam.
What time? How long have we done it?
We are at an hour and four.
Oh, Adam's never letting you do this again.
The monkeys are running the zoo. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for indulging me in my fantasies as a fantasy baseball host. I appreciate it.
What? That's weird.
Oh, my fantasy.
Don't go liking my Instagram photos.
All right. Good luck in week 12. We will see you. Adam Azen will be back on Monday. I'm Chris Towers. For Al Melchior and Scott White, guys, say goodbye.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.